Hey, this is Kevin Smith, and you're listening to Radio Brendo Man, the only radio that matters with the name Brendo Man in it. If you're not listening to it, just what in God's name are you listening to? I can give you some options, but that would defeat the purpose of the plug. Brendo Man.
And welcome to another episode of Radio Brendo Man. I'm Brendan Creasy.
And I'm Phil Vecchio.
People listen to this on Thursday. It's like we're traveling in time.
You just leaped forward 2 days.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. How was your Wednesday?
I hope it was all right.
Yeah, I think it was probably fine.
It's probably pretty chill.
Good. Yeah.
It's probably, you know,
it's a little warmer on Wednesday than it was on Tuesday, if I remember correctly.
Man, last week I was climbing up ladders at school.
Yeah.
I was just getting real, because it was super hot.
Yeah. Well, this week's cooler.
And it was fine, but it was a lot of, I was working super hard, and I'm also, we're redistributing carts and making sure every class, every group of classrooms have an even number of computers.
Right.
We're trying to get to one-to-one at our school, like, but that's not just computers. It's like we're counting, like, devices, period. So, like, iPads.
Okay.
We're getting pretty close. But I had to, like, take some carts out of some classrooms and take them to other classrooms. And let me tell you, teachers
don't like
when you just grab a cart of, like, iPads or MacBooks that they were using. And then I'm like, I'm taking this. And they're like, no.
Well, if it counts all devices, can you get, like, old DSs and put them in there?
No. Well, we have, like, because, like, we have these old, old MacBooks, like, the white ones from,
yeah.
Like, and they were, like, originally, like, we were, like, should we count these? And someone was, like, we should, because some teachers, I'm, like, they only use them because they have nothing else to use.
Right.
They barely work, like, they barely have web browsing capabilities. You can't go on, like, modern websites because you can't, in order to update to, like, a point where you can actually, like, use, like, Google Drive and stuff, you would have to update the OS because, like, these are running, like, super old OSs.
Right.
And just to update the OS, it's like an hour and a half process. Although I think I may have found a way to quickly update them. I think I found, like, some FireWire cables where I can hook in. But anyway, that's been my week at work, is just moving computers around, counting computers, teachers getting upset that I'm taking their computers. But some of them are stoked because I'm like, I am taking your MacBook Airs that you don't really like, and I'm giving you these MacBook Pros. And they're like, yes.
Good.
But some groups of classes, I'm like, you had four carts, and now you have two. Deal with it.
Not
like,
as good.
And just like, I'm taking, yeah, you know that whole cart, those 36 iPads you have? Like, you don't get those anymore. But that's because some other group of classrooms didn't have anything. So, you know, just trying to decide who gets what, and especially as, but the thing is, like, school is moving more and more towards, like, using technology for everything.
Right.
Like, there's a lot of textbooks now that, like, the kids don't even get a book. Like, it's all online. So, like, they need computers. And they do, every student, at least in our district, if they don't have a computer at home, they can get a Chromebook for home use for free.
Okay.
So, like, they all have, like, that at home. But then at school, it's a little bit more difficult.
Yeah.
And, like, budgets and bureaucracy and, oh, you can have this card of computers, but you can only use it for certain things. And,
right.
Like, trying to negotiate and getting grants and all that stuff. The world of finding money for things. It's a whole new world. Whereas, like, working at a corporation, they're like, you need this much? All right, we're buying all these. And here's this new thing. And, like, getting – and, like, it – especially at the last job I worked at, like we were getting new stuff, like, right away. Like, oh, here's these new – Dell just announced these new laptops. We're getting some next week. Whereas, like – if we're working with, like, on the school, it's a much different thing. Like, yeah, we'll probably get those in, like, a few years from now, if, but that's kind of out of our price point.
Yeah.
So we're operating on a much different level.
I remember when I was in school, like, sixth grade, we had a computer lab that was some Apple IIe's. That's what I, because when I was in sixth and seventh grade, we had, like, a, it wasn't our whole school. It was like our grade level had a newspaper,
mm-hmm.
and I was the editor of the newspaper, and I just put it together on these like old Apple IIe's. I can't even remember what the name of the program is that you would like lay out the stuff in. It was very, very primitive, obviously.
It's like,
put like clip art in it and stuff.
I remember using like ClarisWorks and some stuff like that. And then I remember, well, I remember when we got the first, cause we had Apple IIe's in elementary school. And then I remember the first Mac came out and it was like, whoa. Well, cause in between that, we got the Apple IIGS, which is like really, that was almost when they had gotten to the Mac. Like, it was almost, cause then, so then we got like a Mac and it was like the old Mac classic, but like seeing a graphical interface was like a really big deal, like the graphic OS and then like things like HyperCard and other stuff. And then in high school, we had like those Mac Performas that were like super nice and had like CD-ROM drives. And, but I remember at high school, the public high school I went to my junior and senior year, they had like a lot of old crappy IBMs.
Yeah.
And like, they were crappy. In yearbook, we had like some more powerful computers to run, cause we used PageMaker for like, which I don't even think that's a thing anymore, cause I think they got bought by Adobe at some point. I feel like Adobe bought everything.
Yeah, and then it makes you pay a monthly subscription to it now. Boo.
But I just remember, I think I've told this story where in yearbook, I ended up getting screwed over because I was the only person in my, cause I was, you get assigned to like a section of the yearbook and I was in the senior, that was like all and it was sucked cause I was a junior and I didn't know, I was new to the school and I'm like, I don't know these people, like I'm like working on the senior section and I'm like, I'm not a senior, I don't care about, like, so it was kind of a bummer, like I wanted to do like something exciting, so I was already kind of bummed cause most of the senior section is just a photo layout.
Right.
And then like some special sections on like senior poll and like senior, here's some of the jobs that seniors did and like here's what seniors like to do for fun and just dumb stuff like that. But I was the only person in my section, including the editor of our section didn't even know how to use PageMaker. So I was in charge of doing all the layouts, everybody's layout. So her executive decision was like, well, Brendan, since you're doing all the layouts, you'll only do one story and I'll co-do it with you. So I didn't even get a byline in that one. So then she didn't bother to tell our yearbook advisor teacher that I was doing all this other work. So it made it look like I wasn't doing anything.
Right.
Yet I was doing the most work. And I was like, deadline nights, like I remember being at school at like 4 a.m. and thinking like, this is horrible. Like, being at school for the morning is just wrong on so many levels. And not getting any credit. Like, no credit. And then it made it look like I was doing, like, nothing in yearbook. And I remember I even got an F in yearbook one semester. like, as a grade. Like, it totally, like, screwed me over. I had to, like, because I got it back up, but I'm like, I almost got disqualified for a Cal grant because of my stupid yearbook grade, and it was a nightmare.
Should have unionized.
And then I got kicked out, and then, like, I didn't get invited back for senior year, and it was probably the best thing that ever happened because, like, now I look back, and I was like, I was doing yearbook, I had an actual job, and I was, like, really involved in, like, youth group and stuff, and I'm like, how did I even have time to do all that stuff?
I don't know. I guess, because I did so much stuff in high school, too,
I think it's like
don't have anything else to do.
When you're, like, a teenager, I guess, like, that's your life.
And sleep.
And also, like, I don't know, like, high school was really easy. I think about these, I don't know. I'm turning into like an old person because I hear these kids complaining. I'm like, this is your only job. This is all you have to do. You don't have to worry about anything else. Like, I'm like, you need to shut up. Like, you need to shut up right now. But then I remember like what it was like and I'm like, okay. But like, there are times though when I'm like, when I hear these, like, I hear them like complain. I'm like, you need to shut up right now because you have no idea. And like, but I mean, like, that's just life. That's like how it is. Like, everybody thinks their stuff is the most, and like, that's part of being a kid.
It is.
But it's also like, you are like, this is like, cause like, I don't know, just like, I don't think I would ever go back, but just not having, like, the sheer amount of non-responsibility is like, as you, in hindsight, I'm like, oh my gosh.
I think like, that about college too.
Well, college especially.
College was like the ultimate.
Because you have the freedom, but
you can go do what
but
you
still
do.
Have that safety net,
right?
And you also don't have any real responsibilities.
And see, for me, college was so much easier, like academically, than high school because high school I was in AP classes, and I just remember like they would always tell you in high school, like college is so much harder. Like you think this is hard, just wait till you get to college, blah blah. But then when I actually got to college, my AP classes were so hard. That when they were like, okay, you have this 10-page paper due at the end of the first week, and everyone was like, oh, and I was like, oh, that's all we have to do? Like 10 pages? Like, this is nothing. So, for me, it was a step down, because like AP English, we wrote so much.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm thankful for that class, because by the time I was done with that, I could write hundreds of pages if I had to, you know?
Yeah. I took AP English the first semester of my senior year, and then like, I blame, like, again, I undiagnosed ADD because I knew I could read the books, but I could not, like, focus on any of the stuff, and I couldn't finish assignments. But, I mean, again, I couldn't apply myself to save my life, right. And that was my problem. And I feel like if I had been better equipped, I probably would have done a lot better, and also if I had just applied, again, applying myself, it wasn't a matter of, like, this is too hard. I think you're completely right.
It's a lot
of work. But, like, it's a lot of work. But I think that's done intentionally, and I think that's where, like, and also they're doing a much better job now, I think, of preparing kids. And I think it's better to be over-prepared than under-prepared, because, like, even the junior high classes that I'm, like, I got to know one of the English teachers pretty well, and she's like, oh, dude, I've got them writing so where, like, it's not going to be a problem for them.
Yeah.
And they do it intentionally because – like, you want that. You want
to... Because there is a lot of writing in college, but again, it was nothing compared to what I was writing.
Well, I remember even, like, starting junior year, like, my junior honors English class, that's all we did was write AP essays. That is all we did.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've told my famous AP, because I could not, I basically got kicked out of the class, and then I got sent, but my mom is like, here's the problem. You're gonna send him back down to regular English, and then he's gonna get an A in that class without even trying, and again, he's not gonna apply himself, it's not gonna fix anything, cause again, I still didn't do any work, but because, like, regular English was so stupid easy, right. Like, I did nothing and I got an A, just because, like, I could, like, the difference, it's, and that's where it's like, I guess that's one of the problems in schools, like, what do you do for, like, the kids that, like, There isn't any in between. I think now there is more, like, they do more cater, like, they would, I think now, if I had been having those problems, they would have assigned somebody to work with me, like a peer learner or something, cause I see that now, but they have a lot more resources available for kids like me, cause putting me in back in that regular language is a complete waste of time. Cause even the teacher, like, it was, the teacher knew me really well because, he actually was like one of the, like, youth workers at our church.
Okay.
And his wife taught at the, private school that I went to. So, like, I knew he was a friend of our family. And he even said, he's like, Brendan, what are you doing here? Cause he's like, you're not benefiting from his class. There's nothing I can, like, he's like, it's, and he's like, and it's not fair to me for me to spend extra, like, giving you, like, spending extra time trying to challenge you because I have people in this class that, like, they need every second of my time.
Right.
So we basically just like, look, like, this is just how, like, he's like, I'm sorry. Like, he's like, neither of us are benefiting from this. And you just, but he's like, and he's like, so he's like, I wish I could help you more, but I have to work because, like, I have students that are barely passing this class that I need to, and I have to help them, like, graduate high school. So he's like, so it's just kind of this, like, all right, I guess, like, this is what's going to happen. And,
yeah.
And it was a complete waste of both of our times. And, but, so, what happened was then, I was so mad about the whole situation that I took the AP test anyways, because my mom already paid for it.
Okay.
And I passed. And my teacher was very, she's like, because then she was like, because my AP teacher was just convinced that I was just, she'd written me off. And then I passed, and then she, like, was just kind of like, wow, okay. And I'm like, I told you, like,
well, I'll tell you one thing that they always were saying, oh, you know, you're going to want to take your AP test because you know, save lots of money in the long run, and they were not lying about
that. That's true, and I wish, I do wish I had taken, cause like, that's the biggest thing is like, cause you are like, especially if you go to a private school, like that's, cause even just that one English class, that was like thousands of dollars. Yeah. Like,
when I was able to skip, I mean, I could have graduated a year early.
Yeah.
If I had like taken a few extra classes, I wound up going just a semester early so I could take it a little easier, but even that semester was thousands of dollars that I spent.
That's what I would give that advice. Like, any way you can take as many classes as possible. Cause like, there's that school in San Bernardino in our district. I think this is becoming a more, where like, you can graduate from high school with a freaking associate's degree. Yeah. That is like crazy. Well, I would have.
The school
like,
that our kids are going to, they're planning to open a high school with that model. They're working with, what's it called up here on the hills?
Yeah.
Crafton Hills.
Crafton Hills.
The college here, yeah. Hopefully. So, I mean, that, I'm hoping they get that.
That's
together,
a huge
that's
deal.
Great.
Cause that's like, cause then also, like, when you do go to college, like real college, you've already gotten your general ed out of the way, so you can actually take things you're interested in.
Right.
Cause that's the number one thing at college that, like, a lot of people either drop out or just get frustrated because you're taking all these, like, general ed classes that, yes, that's part of a good rounded education, but especially if you're at a private school and you're paying a ton of money, and that's how, like, I don't know, I feel like that's how you get burnt out on college and.
Well, because if you're doing something you care about, then if you're working hard on it, it doesn't matter. Yeah. It's something you enjoy, you know.
Yeah, it gets, I don't know, school, I don't know. I mean, it's like one of those, it's, and like everybody's, cause we're at this point in society where I feel like a lot more people are realizing that college isn't for everybody.
Yeah.
And that there are other ways, but the statistics don't, like, there's still like the hard facts that college degree equals you're gonna make a lot more money, and, but then like, but I don't know, like, that seems to be changing, but not at a, like...
Well, based on our expose from earlier, the ratio of how much it costs
well, then,
and how
like,
much it makes
money, is and, like, be, and that's, it's getting so, and then, like, the, just, and it's getting so insane, and, like, with debt, student loan debt is getting, I don't know, I mean, that's one of my big, that's my personal big worry in life, is my freaking mountain of debt that's never gonna go away.
Just looming over you.
And forever. And like, even now, like, I'm still trying to figure out how I'm gonna pay my student loan payments every month on my, like, especially now that I have a very fixed salary, like, income.
I'm on a fixed income, Jerry.
I'm on a pretty fixed income because, like, because I only work 10 months, I mean, I guess I could work the other 2 months that I'm not working, but finding a temporary job in those, cause it's not like I have like 2 months block of, it's spread throughout the year.
Right.
And like, and again, I make enough to pay my bills, but there's not a whole ton. So like, my student loan payments are like 200, like, and I'm like, that's on the low end, is like $200 a month. And I gotta figure out, and then cause I got a bunch of other bills, you know, and so trying to juggle all that. And then like, I like to go on trips and do stuff and, there's all these cool things happening that, like, I have to decide, like, you know, like, what I can and can't do, and I guess that's part of being a grown-up, but it's stupid, and then it gets frustrating because I'm like, man, if I could have done it differently, would I have, there's a few different, like, again, like, taking as many general ed classes, all, not even, like, maybe even taking a couple classes at community college.
Something. Get out of the way.
Like, just, it's just so expensive. Just so crazy. Yeah. The amount of money you're spending. And then, like, and then how much of that was actually worthwhile? Cause I think about, like, my actual career, most of what I do now is on the job or just learning by doing it. It's not stuff I learned in school. But then I think about some of my habits and some of the things that I, like, your actual, like, just, like, how you learn and, like, studying and all that stuff, those are things you learn in school.
Right.
Like,
well, and I think just to be a well-rounded adult, it's helpful to have those things.
And I think that's what employers are looking. They're not looking for, like, oh, this guy knows everything about this. I think having a college degree shows that you can, like, have discipline and you were able to apply yourself and get something done.
Right.
And that's basically what it's saying is I can achieve something and work hard. It's not like this guy is an expert in this, in like this random subject. It's this guy applied himself and has the discipline to get this. I think that's what it is. And I feel like the people that harp a lot on college don't really grasp that or kind of ignore that aspect of it.
Yeah.
And, but, Because again, like I said, the statistics don't lie.
Yeah.
So, but it is weird, and I...
Well, it's not to say that someone can't be successful.
No, because obviously there are, and obviously there are, but I just, I feel like, but it, I hope that we can, because it's not for everybody, and there's, I feel like we're entering a world where also just employment is different. Like, I keep reading articles about, like, it seems like we're headed into more of, like, you're not going to have the same job for the whole rest of your, like, that's definitely going away. I mean, that's evident all over the place.
Well, present and, company here.
Yeah. I mean, well, I think about like that. Both of us, like just, I mean, cause you were just talking about Mandarin Orange Show, how many jobs you worked. And when I think about how many jobs I've like random, like we both have pretty interesting,
yep.
like a wide Resume. Variety of jobs all over the place.
Yeah.
And I just, I don't know, and like, but then like, just, but then like, not having that stability that like our parents and grandparents had puts us in this new realm of instability that's scary, and I feel like when you, cause every generation looks down on the generation and like, but I feel like we're especially at a point in time where our elders just don't understand what we're dealing with. Because like, cause again, they come from like, you worked at the same job and you had that, and the fact that that doesn't exist and they can't, and like, and it's, I think it's created even bigger generation gap, because I don't think they realize just the uncertainty of like our world and that yeah. they don't understand what we're dealing with. And it's also a world because again, I harp on this a lot, because I always see like, dumb memes and stupid crap ripping on millennials and all this other stuff because they're like, oh, too good to like work like a menial job, or why don't they just get like a thing? And I'm like, because you taught us that manual labor is bad and that we need to go to college. You created this. And now you're trying to wash your hands of it. Like you didn't create this. Cause we were kids. Like, so we weren't the ones you were the ones telling us all this stuff. Like, so like, I don't know. It's kind of like they created this world and now it seems like they're trying to wash their hands of it. Mm. And that's a little frustrating to me. Cause how many times, like, I don't know, like, you know, like, our parents are like, well, go to college, get a good job, so you don't have to clean toilets or do manual labor or do all that stuff. Like, you told us not to.
I don't know. I haven't gotten a lot of complaints about that. I do clean toilets, just not as often as I should probably.
All right, well, we got some cool events coming up.
That's true.
We got Long Beach Comic Con just in a couple weeks.
Yeah, we're on Sunday.
Sunday the 18th, 4 p.m.
4 p.m.?
In the, it's like the writer's lab.
Okay.
It's the creator's lab.
Creator's lab.
Yeah. That's the venue. There's a bunch of creator-centered events in ours. And so we're capping that off. We're going to be doing our Webcomics Advocates panel. Lots of big panels. They're doing a full Firefly cast. We're pretty much the full cast. Nathan Fillion's going to be there on Saturday. Summer Glau, Jewel State, Adam Baldwin, and some other people from Firefly. They're going to be doing lots of big signings. There's like the full G.I. Joe voice cast from the cartoon.
Long Beach
is just really, I mean, always. They've been around for a long time at this point, and we've been there from the beginning. It's kind of our home base.
Yeah. It's going to be good to be back.
Yeah. So that's longbeachcomiccon.com. Get your tickets. And it's going to be exciting. 17th and 18th at the Long Beach Convention Center.
Yeah.
The weekend after that is the LA Podcast Festival. There's still tickets available. LAPodFest.com. We're going to be in the podcast lounge.
Yeah.
Recording.
Podcasting it up.
We're also, I'm excited. So Mark Bolton just mentioned, the Doughboys are going to be doing a live show. I talked about last episode Jensen, but they're going to be doing Get Up On This live. There's a bunch of cool live shows.
Very cool.
They just announced some of the lineup for their stand up.
Oh yeah.
Night that they do. Yeah. They're going to be doing that again because that was really good last time. Just Bill Maron's not going to be there. Cause that was great.
Yeah, but something new is good.
But it's always good. And I'm excited to just, and we're going to be there with our friend Cheryl from Movies Made Me. And hopefully have, and then some of our Benview, everything, Andrew and Benson are
going
to be there.
Are you going? Okay.
And well, Andrew definitely, Benson still is kind of on the fence.
Okay.
Which is funny because like, I thought Welcome to Nightville was like their favorite show and they're going to be doing show on Friday, but maybe.
It's true.
I don't know. So yeah, lots of good shows are going to be there.
Yeah.
And, Todd Glass, who was on the show last year. So I'm hoping we can return because that was one of my favorite.
Oh, man. It's hard to like pick because it was just such a fun thing. Oh,
and that was just one night. We're going to be there the whole time.
Yeah. Good stuff.
So very excited for that. And if you're going to be in LA, definitely
if you're
going to
go, let us know.
So what else is going on, Phil?
All right. Well, a couple of things real quick about this week. First of all, there's a new Nintendo Direct focused mostly on the 3DS.
Talked a lot about Animal Crossing. A
lot of Animal Crossing news.
I'm a little frustrated at the just...
What's that?
The Animal Crossing thing. Like, so they're not making a new Animal Crossing game still. They are going back and...
They're giving us a free update.
But the free update is just so that they added Amiibo support.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
They want you to just buy more...
I already have the Amiibos. I don't have to buy anything.
Well, they're going
to
make new cards, they said.
I already got the cards.
They're making new ones.
Or get more cards.
Yeah, exactly. They want you to buy more stuff instead of making a new game. Yeah, but I'm going to really want to.
Well, but you don't have to.
So now I got to get a reader.
All they're doing is giving us more.
So they're giving more so they can just sell more stuff.
If you want to. You don't have to.
But I'd rather just have a new game.
They're not going to do a new one that soon.
They could have done a... There's no Wii U game. Like a real Animal Crossing game. They're making all these bogus...
They're gonna do. They're saving the console one for
supposedly. NX we don't at know that. Point.
They're not gonna do a Wii U full blown one.
They should have.
Maybe they should have, but they're not going to. I doubt it.
I'm really bummed that they didn't. That's bogus.
Agreed. But still can't complain for getting more.
But it's not really more.
It's tons more.
It's tons more that you have to buy.
I'm not buying anything. You don't have to buy a single.
Because you already bought all that stuff.
Because I liked it already. All
right.
It's all new and free. It doesn't cost you anything.
It costs me a bunch of stuff if I want to take advantage of it. I don't know. I'd rather... I wish they would make... I hope this mobile game is good. I hope it doesn't suck.
We'll see. One way or another, though, there's some exciting news.
There's a new mobile game.
Well,
and
from the Direct, though...
They talked about some other stuff.
There's two most important things I want to focus on. There's a lot of good stuff. Number one, we got Disney's Magical World 2.
Yeah.
Which looks amazing.
I hope it's good.
I mean, even if it's the
I got a little burnt out on the last one.
Well, I mean, after a while, but that was after playing like 200 hours of it. Yeah. So, you know. But now it's a new one. And even if it's the same exact stuff, but it's all in new lands, like, I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
So that's great. But then...
I hope they just make it, like, not as grindy.
Maybe.
That'd I would be love nice. To see a little bit less grindy and... Like, to get all the stuff, it was really, really crazy.
Yeah, I still don't have all the stuff.
Because some of the gardening stuff is insane.
I mastered the whole gardening thing.
Yeah.
I did some Reddit dives where I was
but
like,
you really had to, like, and even then, it came down to, like, a randomly generated where you, it's just, all again, like, super grindy.
It got very
and just
tough.
Got to, like, you just basically random, you're just hoping for the random number generator. Yeah. And that, to me, gets a little bit
But the main game itself, though, was very fun. And now we get a new one, and I'm very excited about that. But the other one, and I think the biggest news that I've already been playing, is they came out with the new Street Pass game.
Oh, I didn't get the free one, because there's a free one?
Well, there's one free one. There's five new games for the Street Pass.
What are they? I haven't even looked.
So, okay. There's two of them. You get to pick one for free. Mm-hmm. One of two.
Okay.
There's five of them total. There's two of them. You can pick one for free. And then the other four, you can get, if you buy them all, it's $8.99 for the four pack.
That's not bad.
It's not bad. They're $3 each individually, but.
So what are they?
For $8.99, you get all five.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm gonna go in order of my least favorite to most favorite. It's kind of random. Not that they're all fun, and I've been playing them. I got them the day they came out, minutes after it went into the store. I like sat there and clicked and refreshed until it was there because I was like,
oh my gosh.
Have you
gotten to use them yet? I mean, with tag? Well, I guess you have your.
I get three tags every couple of hours.
See, I don't have that.
House, so.
I don't have that.
I just tagged you right now. I'm tagging you. Boom, boom. Okay, so There's one, they're all, they're kind of billed as like all, even more micro games than the other ones. You can, the whole idea is that you can play them even faster so that you're at conventions.
Because I'm at a point now with a convention where I have to pick one thing.
Well, right. And so their whole idea with these, and you can spend more time with it and they're, you know, go through and stuff, but you can go through all five of the games and the amount of time it takes to go through like one or two of the older ones. If you want to.
I like that.
The other thing they did.
That's a definite plus for me.
If you got the old, like before there was the premium thing where you got the birthday thing and it gave you the VIP lounge and the stuff.
Which I'm kind of regretting that purchase. Well, here's
the
thing.
They gave you a huge boost now. Listen to this. If you got that, it doesn't count if you didn't already, if you didn't buy that. If you got that, you can get 100 tags now, not 10.
Okay.
Only because with that.
So VIP, 100 tags at once?
At once now.
Finally!
Yes, but that's only with the VIP.
But I have the VIP.
You do, right. So.
Can you go back and get the VIP?
You can go back and get it still.
Because that alone makes it worth it.
Well, that's the thing. So before it was like, well, I wanted the birthday
10 tags at a time is now, the most frustrating thing.
Now I haven't, I need to check it out and see how it works because
we'll get
to
test it out at Long Beach.
Well, yeah, because so far I've only gotten 3 at a time. There's a little thing, it's like, it's your line and you like can go into the pink arrow and you grab people out and have them wait in line. I don't know if it does that automatically or if you have to do it, but one way or another, you can go through them way faster. So that's good. So the games themselves, you got, there's one where it's a cooking one and it's like, it's kind of funny. It's almost like the Rosencrantz and Guildenstern of the original me one. So you go through that same map where they fight the ghosts and stuff, you know? But you're cooking food for the fighters. And depending on how good the recipes you cook are, they do better in fighting the ghosts. So you cook for them and then it shows them go out and fight the ghosts on that original map and then they come back. So it's funny. I put that at the bottom of my list because it's kind of, it's very basic. There's not a lot to it. And maybe as I get more into it, I'll like it better. That's kind of how the flower one was for me originally, and then I really got into it.
I wish Josh was here, because he would just be yelling so much about all of these.
I know, but it's fun.
Especially the Animal Crossing stuff.
Oh, definitely. But anyway, so that, it's silly, but it's fun, you know, whatever. Then the next one, I would say, going up the list, there's this ninja one. It's called Ninja Cannon, and you're fighting through, I mean, the basic structure is you're going, you know, beating bigger and bigger guys. But the way it works is you get your tag guys, and they launch you out of a cannon, and your tag people are holding these kites at different heights, and you have to line them up so that your cannon fire hits the kites, and each one of those builds up your attack power, and then you strike a guy at the end.
Okay.
And then, you know, you just have to beat the guys, and it saves your progress along the way. It's okay. Again, that one's fun. I like the progression, but it's not, like, the best. Okay, now we're getting into the ones that I'm really, really enjoying. The next one is a slot car racing one, which is one of the free ones you can choose.
Okay.
And the slot car racing one, basically, you know, you don't steer because it's slot car, so you just, you know, hold A to go and let go of A to not go. But there's little, like, boost corners where if you time it just right, you can boost around. And then the way the street pass people work, you race against them, but also, depending on how many people you tag, they build, like, little boost cards for your next race. And the more people you have, the better your boost cards are to go up in the next race. So that one's really fun. Then there's this, like, adventure trek, a jungle adventure trek. And this one's really cool. It takes the number of steps that the people you've tagged.
Okay.
So, like, you know, like, when you do the armies, it adds to your armies based on how many people they've tagged. This one takes how many steps they've done, and then that's how far you progress through this little jungle journey, and you're looking for treasure, you break down rocks, and you fight snakes and stuff like that. It's really fun. I like that one a lot. But my favorite one, and this is random, but my favorite one is the other free one you can pick.
So you're saying this is the one that you should pick?
It is. It's not the one that I picked, but I bought them all at the same time, so it doesn't matter. But if you're going to get a free one, this is my favorite. It's a stock trading one, which maybe sounds dumb, but...
What are the stocks?
So they're just fake ones.
Okay.
But what happens is you each time you tag someone, you get to go through a day of trading. And the way the tag people work, the more you have, the better they are at predicting how the stocks are going to go throughout the day. So you like can buy with A, and then you sell with Y. And so... As it's going up, like if the chart goes down, buy, and then you try to sell as it goes up and it goes up and down. But the more people you have, they'll give you better advice.
Okay.
And I don't know, for whatever reason, because I had like 300 coins saved up because I wasn't really doing tags that much because I've gotten through everything. I spent like hours just buying one guy at a time and going through. I've already gotten up to like 57 million, which is a lot on this one game alone. It's really fun. So Street Pass games, Dude, you got to get them at Fort Long Beach. It's great. $8.99, you can get all five of them.
Definitely got to do that.
Super fun. And it's worth it alone just for that stream. You got to at least update it so you get that streamlining thing.
Yeah.
Oh, because that's the other thing. I forgot. So in addition, with your Prime, your premium thing, so you can have 10 more people, but they also have like a, I forget what they call it. It's like a speed run one where, you know, normally you get on your menu when you tag someone, then you click to the games, then you go to the menu of the guys. It's like a quick start. So the second you've tagged them, it goes in there and you tap the game and you've started it.
Nice.
So if you're in cons, it like cuts the time in a quarter of how long it takes to go through the games. It's fantastic.
Because the cons, it premium. Just gets overwhelming.
Well, I think it's great that they took that old one that was not the best value and added all this additional value to it. So it makes me feel better. So there you go. Super exciting. Boom. And last thing on my Phil Stuff to Mention segment here is I went in the skinny tubs this week.
What the heck is skinny tubs?
Well, back when we moved to our new to our house to in Ukiah in like 2010, right before Luke was born, and we were moving our stuff in, and I had all these clothes that I hadn't been wearing for a long time because I'd gotten fat, and we packed them away in skinny tubs and said, "Well, one day we'll lose weight." And unfortunately, went the opposite direction. Well, as of this week, you know, I mentioned before we did the weigh-in.
That's like a whole new wardrobe,
dude. So I did the weigh-in.
Is that why you're wearing it? I've seen you wear that shirt.
This shirt right here, I've worn, but I haven't worn it in a long time.
But I haven't seen this outer shirt.
This outer shirt I don't wear out. Yeah. I haven't worn out a long time. These shorts have not seen the light of day since 2010.
Dang.
Like I went in, so we went in. I couldn't fit into everything that was in there, but I pulled out some shirts. I got some shorts, stuff that I have not been able to fit in like at least 6 years.
Ah.
Or longer. So
awesome.
We were trying to figure out because they haven't like tracked, they haven't recorded everything. But as of this Saturday, I was down 64.4 pounds. And the last time I weighed this little, still a lot, but you know, as I was this low was at least like 2008, like before Audrey was born.
Man. So this is your pre-dad weight.
So this is I'm in pre-dad weight now.
There you go.
Still have a long way to go. It's a daunting task, but I got to go in at least the first of the skinny tubs. Now, I haven't gone back to, like college-filled tubs or anything like that, but I'm at least in pre-dad tubs. That's pretty good.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you have, like, some, are there, like, some particular shirts that you're really...
Oh, dude.
Like, gold shirts, like, band shirts or...
Well, see, okay. By the time I got, like, you know, in those 2008 when I was getting, like, the pre-dad weight, putting on the weight like I am now, I couldn't fit into band shirts. I wasn't buying band shirts anymore because bands don't make fat guy shirts.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have some old video game shirts. I have two Legend of Zelda shirts that have been stored away that I haven't fit into that I'm not quite there yet. I need another 10 pounds, but Luke's going to freak out when he sees them because one of them is the one I won from Nintendo Power from the thing. And then I actually wore one up in Big Bear this weekend. I have an old, like, just Nintendo controller one that says classically trained.
Yeah.
That I haven't worn in a long time.
Isn't that one of the Hot Topic ones back when Hot Topic was making those?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know if it was actually, but you know, there's been a lot of variations.
Nintendo shirts, that was like when they first got big.
Yeah.
Like,
they started doing
that. That was the kind of the whole retro wave when our generation got into like their mid 20s.
Yeah. Early. We're like, oh, we can buy stuff from when we were kids. But band shirts are going to be like quite a bit because again, you know, that's back a few years. I'll get there.
Get there, man.
We're working on it. Keep in the right direction, but it's pretty cool. So instead of buying new clothes, I got to get some old ones out of the tubs. I've got new shorts.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's cool. Well, I had my, Battle of Los Angeles weekend, pro wrestling.
I thought it said Biola weekend. Like, you went to Biola?
Bola, that's what it's called, Bola. And so Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, it's like, I've talked about it a lot, but it's a small independent promotion that's been going on. This is their 13th year in operation, and they run out of it's a Legion Hall in Reseda.
Huh.
They've been there for the last several years. They've moved around quite a bit, but they've been at the same place in Reseda for like, since like 2008. And, Battle of Los Angeles is a 3-day tournament, so it's like their biggest event of the year. It's like their WrestleMania. They bring in wrestlers from all over the world. This year, so there's been this group of like wrestlers from the UK, and there's one guy from the Netherlands named Tommy End, but, they've kind of slowly taken over the world of independent wrestling and professional wrestling as a whole in the last couple years. Like, so this guy, Zack Sabre Jr., he's probably like the best wrestler in the world right now. He's featured, so a lot of these guys are featured in the WWE Cruiserweight Classic they're having, which is kind of their way to bring in some of these indie guys on a trial basis. Like, they're not signed to like long-term contracts. Right. It's like for the tournament, but just kind of spotlight these guys, see what they, how they like come off on like a, like on a WWE stage and like for WWE, and they've been doing really well. So like Zack Sabre Jr. is leading the pack in that, and some of these guys. So there's all these guys from the UK, and then Will Ospreay is another guy. He's a high flyer and from the UK, and he's been wrestling in New Japan this year. I saw him in Dallas at a couple matches. And again, these guys, they're just kind of, they came out of nowhere, like these European guys, but they're, it's like the European invasion, and they're now, right now, they're some of the most popular wrestlers on the indie scene, and, but they're also expanding into like Japan and Ring of Honor, and WWE's even looking at a bunch of these guys. So they kind of were the featured attraction at Bola this year. And Marty Scurll, who's one of the, he's kind of got this villain persona. He comes out with like a big fur coat and an umbrella, and like he's just really like, he's really like quite a character, and he won the tournament. And it was awesome, but there's just something special about PWG, because again, it's like 1200 people total. It's super small. Like, even in the back row, you're like maybe 15 feet from the ring. Like, and again, it's just crammed in there. It's a lot of fun, and going to all three nights was just crazy. I sat next to people from like, that came from, I sat next to two dudes that came from England. I met another dude on night three from Scotland. There was like at the hotel, I was saying, again, people, Japanese. There's a big Japanese contingent this year, because my highlight was Jushin Liger was there. He's been wrestling since I was 9 years old. He's 52 years old. He still is wrestling pretty strong. He's still got a lot left in the tank, because he started off as like a super high flyer, and he's got older. He actually, unlike some of these guys who just like, they keep going like that, and eventually you're gonna get hurt. You're, the wear and tear of that style, a lot of those guys like can't even walk anymore. It's high risk, so a lot of injuries. So he kind of, like, when he got into like his 30s, he started kind of toning down the high flying and went to a more technical style. He still does, every once in a while he'll bust out the high flying moves, but he definitely toned it down. And that probably extended his career by like 20 years by doing that. And he wears, so he's, there's a, like in Japan, I guess, there's like a, I don't know if it's still on, but there was like a TV show, like a cartoon. It's a very like anime character come to light. He's got this crazy mask. This is his mask.
Okay.
So I bought a shirt. I bought a shirt of Jushin Thunder Liger. And so he's like a, he's just like a walking anime character.
That's funny.
And he's freaking awesome. So getting to see him live, and then I met him and I got my picture with him, and he was super nice. Just a, all the Japanese guys, cause like they're very, they take it very seriously and they work really hard. So he was super cool. And I also met Will Ospreay, and I met, he was at Bola last year, but I didn't get to talk to him. There's a wrestling journal. He's basically the wrestling journalist. His name is Dave Meltzer. Whenever you see any documentary or anything about wrestling, they usually interview him. He's been running his newsletter since the early 80s. He's like the guy. And now, like, there's tons of wrestling newsletters and websites, but they pretty much all just copy Dave's stories, because him and like a couple of the guys are the only guys that actually do real journalism, where they actually have sources and interview people, and everybody else just kind of rips off their stories. It's a really weird world of wrestling journalism, but he's super, he's the guy. And so I got to meet him and talk to him a little bit, and he was really nice, and I got my picture with him. And I, my joke was, cause he kind of popularized the 5-star rating system for matches, and over the course of time, like the list of Dave's 5-star matches, like it consists of basically some of the, it's a really legit list of like the best matches, because he is like, there was, I think WWE, it went like 15 years without a 5-star match in WWE. He's also very partial to Japanese wrestling, and there are certain periods of WWE where he never gave out 5 stars for a WWE match. So, I joked and I said Dave gave me five stars for Brendo. But the Young Bucks are a tag team who are, they are very meta and they love referencing, like, their finisher is called the Meltzer Driver, named after Dave Meltzer. At one point in the beginning of the match, they looked over and they're like, hey Dave, do you like our gear? It's 5-star gear, right? And so the whole crowd started chanting 5 stars. And then at the end of a match, they're like, 5 stars, Dave? And Dave was like, 5 stars. I don't think he actually is going to give that match 5 stars, but who knows?
He's being a good sport.
There were some awesome matches, and again, guys from all over. There was a bunch of Lucha Underground. There was a couple, I guess this year there was less Lucha Underground guys, but Pentagon Jr. and Phoenix, they're two of the huge guys in Lucha Underground. They're also brothers in real life, so I'd never seen them work together as a tag team, but I got to see them twice as a tag team, and they were freaking incredible. Hmm. And they put on some amazing, it was just amazing. It was just a lot of fun, and, I hadn't stayed at Howard Johnson's in like forever.
They're very hit and miss. Some of them are great. Some of them are the worst hotels I've ever
stayed. Yeah, this one was really good, and it was like kind of in the middle of Reseda, so you didn't know what to expect because like it's not the nicest area, and it was actually really good.
There's one right by Disneyland that's great that has a water park in it and stuff.
Yeah,
fantastic. The one in Buena Park.
Total.
No. The Buena Park?
I think it is.
The Buena Park? There was like cockroaches. Like, yeah. It was awful. We stayed there like once and we're like, never again.
Those yeah, this things. One was really good.
Just never I
was,
know.
And cause it's like, it's seriously like 2 blocks from where they have the wrestling, so it was great. I didn't have to drive anywhere all weekend, and there was, a Denny's up the street, which, I ate at just cause I didn't want to, I was gonna go to like, cause there's this deli that I discovered last year in Northridge called Brent's.
Deli?
Yeah.
LA Deli.
But this is called Brent's Delicatessen, and it had 5 stars on Yelp. So I think I talked about it last year, but it was the best breakfast I ever had. And I was going to drive, because it's only like an 8-minute drive, but then I was like, I just don't even want to get in my car. I don't want to drive. So I just walked. And like, you know, Denny's is Denny's.
Yeah.
And it's fine.
It's good. Like Denny's. Fine.
Super Denny's on. I forgot how crowded Denny's can be on a Sunday morning. I actually almost, I almost hulked out at Denny's.
Why?
Well, okay. So, in my defense, I think I was justified. So I get there. There's like a super long line. So I'm like, oh, it's fine. I don't have anything else to do because the bell time on Sunday was 5 o'clock. I was gonna get there around 2 or 3. To wait in line because I want to get a good seat in general admission.
Because right.
I didn't have for the only people that are guaranteed like where you sit like front row, but I didn't have front row. I had general admission, so if you want to get a good seat, you got to get there at a decent time because otherwise you might end up like in a bad. There isn't really any bad seats, but as a big guy, I didn't want to because on Friday I got there sort of late because I was coming straight from work and I ended up having to sit. In the middle of it, like, I guess for some people that's a good seat, but right. I was sitting in the middle and like, I was just crammed.
Yeah.
Like, I felt bad for the guy cause like again, like just really, cause they have the seats just like totally like again, like this is not a lot of room. And so if you want one of those like aisle seats or like a good position so you can spread out a little bit. So Sunday I got there early and I was able to get like an aisle seat where I did have room and I wasn't like crowding anybody. And so. So I had some time, so I'm there, and I put my name in, and then this guy, like a couple minutes later, so I'm sitting there, and then this guy comes up, and he's like, yeah, I'm just one person, can you find a seat for me? And the guy's like, sure. And then he goes, and this is where, again, I had to like call him on his bullcrap, because the manager guy was like, sure, I'll find you a seat right now. And I'm like, hey, I'm one too, and I'm waiting, and the manager just got really offended. He's like, no, I was going to put him on the list. I'm like, no, you're not. I watched you. You were going to go find him a seat. And then the guy's like, the guy that he was like, he's like, I'm so sorry, dude. I'm sorry. And I'm like, dude, no, it's cool. But he got like really, he thought I was like legit about to like, so he left. Like the,
really?
Like that guy left. And I think the manager like got, cause he's like, you just cost me.
Well, he cost him.
He's like, no, I was going to put him. I'm like, no, you weren't. He grabbed a menu and he was gonna seat him. And I'm like, you were gonna seat him. I'm like, no.
So is this like a fat thing?
I don't know what it was.
Was he like, oh, I'm not gonna seat this guy.
But then
first?
he, But then he, like, really soon after that seated me, but then the whole time, like, am I going to get spit in my face? I was, like,
bad way to start it out.
Because I was like, oh, but I, so I kept being, I'm, like, super apologetic, but I'm like, you were going to seat that dude ahead of me. But I'm like, after a while, I'm like, it's not worth arguing with this guy because, like, that's going to lead to me getting spit in my food.
Oh, yeah. There's a fine line there.
So that's where I immediately was like, I'm sorry. I didn't know. I didn't know what was going on. So I played. I'm like, I knew what, you knew what we, he tried to play it off. Like, he wasn't, but I'm like, no, like, you had a menu, you know, taking him to a seat. You weren't, cause, like, I saw the clipboard with the names. Like, at no point did you pick up that clipboard. You were going to take him to a seat somewhere.
And I wonder what's going on.
I think he might have just spaced or he was trying to, I don't know, because this guy, but it was like this handsome British guy, like, just like came strutting in and I'm like, is he going to seat him? Is he sitting? Is this guy jumping? Because there were other people that were also trying to, like, jump ahead in the line. There was this one lady that every time somebody that wasn't her name got called, she would get really mad. And they were like, you have a party of eight. Get that's why. Yeah, like they kept, she would get mad every time. They're like, to get eight people, it's going to take a long, like, look. Like, it got to the point where they had to show her. And, like, because she was, but I'm like, no, I'm just one guy.
Yeah, so, but a one. There's no excuse.
And this is where, but then I just felt bad because then that guy, like, left. And I'm like, no, it's cool. I'm sorry. But I'm like, because I immediately, like, as soon as the guy, I'm like, hey. And I don't know if they both are like, whoa, big dude mad. Big angry big dude. Like, cause he left and I looked at, cause I'm like, I'm sorry, but I'm like, look, like, I'm not, like, but like, come on, like, he was gonna seat you ahead of me.
You should call this episode Big Dude Mad.
Cause I think that's what's going through his head, like, Big Dude Mad. Cause he like looked at me and he's like, I'm sorry, mate. Cause he even says, like, sorry, mate, I didn't know. And I'm like, no, it's not your fault, like, this guy, but I mean, like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, and but then he just kind of felt bad. And then the manager looked mad, but I'm like, that was not my fault that he left. Like, you were like, so it just kind of created this whole weird situation and I don't know, but the waitress was nice.
Good.
But I was kind of like, oh, no.
Check your food real thoroughly.
Yeah.
That's good.
I think it was fine. It was fine. Because I immediately apologized, and I had been in there the day before, and I tipped real well. So I think that...
That maybe was your saving grace.
So that might have been, again, like, I always tip well, because... But I don't know. I feel like I was in the right, but I also gave that fine line of, like... Because he did. He grabbed the menu. and then after what I second... I'm like, oh, was I being a jerk? I feel bad. But then I'm like, no. Like, he was going to seat him ahead of me. And I had already been there for, like, 15 minutes.
Man.
But I think it was just one of those things where, like, I became... I get it. Like, I can be pretty invisible at times. Like, it's just...
Still, though, they got the list. We're living in a society here.
Yeah, because he didn't even look at the list. He's just like, oh, sure, like, you're... And I think that is kind of the handsome... It's like that 30 Rock, like, with, like, John Hamm.
Yeah,
like, just get whatever you want.
Yep.
And it seemed like this guy was just like,
used to that.
Yeah.
When I walk in a restaurant, I get to sit down.
And then he just, like... Because then he just immediately left. I'm like, okay.
you broke his, like, perfect world bubble.
But I think... Because he looks so confused.
This doesn't happen to me.
He's like, wait, what? Why are you mad? Like, and I'm like, I'm mad because you were going to get seated, like, ahead of me. And, like, we're the same situation. And he's like, well, I just want to sit at the counter. I'm like, I just want to sit at the counter. Like, I never said
I
wouldn't.
That's what I want to be.
And there were guys at the counter because the counter of this Denny's was only two seats.
But then maybe they were like, oh, handsome guy. Come
maybe they
here.
Had some secret handsome guy section.
You
I don't know.
Put him in the front window. Well, so
because I'm a solo diner, so I will take advantage of that counter a lot. Because at that Brent's Deli, like, there's usually like a 45-minute wait, but you sit at the counter, you go right in. And same thing at, sometimes if I, because I've never had to wait at Clarkie's, and there was a couple times where the reason, but I would sit at the counter. But most of the time, I don't know, the people at Clarkie's are really nice.
Clarkie's
like,
good.
I think they might have, there's been a couple times where they've, like, I think I've gone to skip ahead of some people.
Oh, see?
But I never ask.
Yeah.
But I've walked in and I've seen a bunch of people.
Well, and you don't blame the guy who came in. He doesn't know what the situation is.
Well, that's what I tried to convey to this dude, but he was like, just like, oh, I have to wait, I'm out of here.
Right.
And he kind of, and again, like, I'm like, I don't see why this is my... I don't think I'm not at fault in this situation. I don't know. It was weird. It was weird vibe. And, like, the fact that the manager got even remotely upset at me kind of set me off. Like, I was – at first I was, like, I was fine. And then I started – even just, like, I'm, like, I almost got a little angry just thinking about it where I'm, like, getting, like, a little worked
up. Maybe you should have just gone over the deli at this point.
I know. I almost did after that. I almost just got up and, like – because then I sat down and then it took a while – for them to even.
That would have showed him if you guys both left when he tried to pull that nonsense.
Yeah.
Then it would have
been. But I was really hungry.
Wow, okay.
But I could have gone over to
Call of the Wild there.
But then I'd have to, like, walk back to the hotel, get in my car, drive the 8 miles. It was, like, less than. It was, like, 8 minutes.
See, that's not bad.
Okay, someone was trying to say that it's a uniquely California thing to measure distance and like, time like we do.
Really?
But I don't think that's true.
I guess
it's because, but I don't know. Like, cause when I was in Missouri, I would do it, but that's cause I would do it. But now I'm trying to remember if anybody else did it. I know it's a uniquely California thing to say the in front of freeway
like
names.
Yeah, the 5 or the 15.
But, and you know, the reasoning behind that is because they used to all have names and the numbers came after. So we are right.
Right.
Because it used to be the Golden State Freeway and this freeway and that. And then they numbered them after and we were already saying them, not us, but the generations before us. So because we were already saying the, we didn't go back and get rid of the.
Right.
That's why we do that. But I don't think, I don't know. We need some, maybe
well,
we need
yeah,
some listener
out of state
feedback.
People or out of country people, let us know.
I do it, and I do that just because it's
know.
Like,
I don't know,
because
I do too.
Because I guess in most places where there's not traffic, it's just like a mile is a mile, and it's like this
yeah,
many
but
miles.
Like especially in
but
big
here,
cities like LA.
It's always by minutes because like, because again, miles don't mean anything because it's 20 miles from Anaheim to like downtown LA.
Yeah, but that could be two hours.
That's never 20 minutes. Yeah. Although sometimes it is, but you can never count on that. I would always say at least an hour, probably two hours.
Well, depending on the time of day, right. I mean.
And that's why.
Have you watched My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend?
Yeah, I'm the one that told you about it.
Okay, well, we finally.
You start watching it?
I watched one
it's amazing,
episode,
right? Isn't it so weird,
West
the West Covina,
Covina
song?
Yeah, and they're like, two
now,
hours.
And also now, you're never going to be able to see that West Covina song
West
without singing
Covina.
That song. Because Adam pointed that out, that he's like, now that every time you see it, I'm like, and he's like, I live here, so I see that sign like every day. Right. Anytime you're driving on the 10, and now it's true, it immediately pops in my head.
That's what he says, 2 hours from the beach, 4 hours in traffic.
Yeah. But that's I don't know if
is.
That's so we're going to need some feedback on that.
We need to know. Is that a thing?
Because now I can't remember if other people did it in Missouri, and I don't think they did.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Let us know.
Because minutes for distance is definitely a thing here.
Right.
But I don't – yeah. Because you – that's
– I mean, I definitely do it too, so I don't know.
But this same article tried to say that Hella has become not just a NorCal thing, and I don't agree with that.
No, I mean, maybe
nobody says it down here.
Nobody says that.
That's still definitely a very NorCal thing.
For whatever reason,
thing.
That still just gives
and
me,
and it's
like,
immediately, like, yeah, just
gag
chills.
Reflex. Like, don't say that.
Nobody says, no.
It's just stupid. Because
they're like, it's spread down to some, like, what kind of Southern California?
Yeah, the people who moved here from Northern California, that's it.
Because, like, I don't even think, that's not even, like, I could see maybe, like, Inland Empire, but I don't even hear that from Inland Empire.
I haven't heard that in, like, forever.
I don't think that's a thing, because also it's stupid. It's a stupid thing to say.
Yeah. And then you got, like, the Christian alternative is the Hekka, and that's still stupid.
Still stupid.
Doesn't matter. Both of them.
I don't like it.
Stop it.
All right, so that was my weekend.
All right.
And I had a day off today.
It's good.
And I did nothing. It was great.
That's most of what we did today,
I did nothing, and it was everything I wanted it to be.
Everything I hoped for.
But sometimes it's great. And also just sleeping.
Yeah.
Nice.
Still wish I could teach my kids to just sleep in.
They'll get there. Because I remember that didn't happen for me until like high school.
Because like Saturday we went up to my parents' house. But our plan was to like just sleep in as late as we wanted to and then head up. You know, we're just going up in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Our kids got up at 6:30. I got up at 8:30 because they were all like awake. Like, Daddy, when are you coming up? I'm like, it's the weekend. We don't have to get up early. What are you doing?
Yeah.
At least they can get up and like.
They can do stuff.
Like, they know how to turn on a show or play games or whatever. Audrey knows how to like. She can pour cereal or she can make toast.
Yeah.
So like, you know.
Once you get in with that microwave, that'll give you even more.
Yeah. Yeah. So far, she's not, like, she just has a toaster, you know. Like, that part she can handle.
I'm trying to think. Because, like, I was a little bit older than Audrey when my dad taught us how to use the microwave.
Well, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, too.
Yeah.
She'll do those. So she'll help Luke get that stuff.
Because I remember, this is weird, my dad taught us how to make scrambled eggs in the microwave.
Really? How do you just, like, cook them?
Yeah. You just got to make sure you get the time right, because otherwise it is, you can explode them. But if you do the timer, like,
you crack the eggs first.
Yeah.
Weird. I've never.
Yeah, we made it.
I guess it makes sense.
We would make scrambled eggs in the microwave. Like, it totally works.
Huh.
Because he did that so he didn't have to. Well, my dad, it was the opposite, where my dad would get up super early to go surfing, so he wasn't at home, and my mom would sleep in.
Right.
So not to wake my mom up. So but on the microwave, burritos were also a regular staple. So once he taught us how to do that and not blow them up, because again, blowing up because I remember we blew up, there was a few in the test runs, because he's like, even though we put one in for like 4 minutes, he's like, you can't do that. So once we had that figured out, then we were golden.
I don't think it's too late for a dad to sleep in to 8:30 in the weekend.
No.
I think that's pretty reasonable.
It's very reasonable.
I don't feel like I'm that lazy.
No.
I really wanted to sleep in later.
But, you know, we'll get better.
That's fine. They're fine.
But,
we should roll through this here.
Yeah, we got some book corner here. So I finished that zine, Rudo Can't Fail.
Yeah,
it was really great. Reading about, like, the Lucha scene made me want to go to some more Lucha shows. There's a couple that operate out this way. There's a big indie fed that operates out of Covina,
yeah.
Not West Covina, Covina, but regular Covina.
Yeah.
So maybe go to one of those shows. And then I finished Furiously Happy, the Jenny Lawson book. Really entertaining, really great essays about, like, just her mental health issues, and just really entertaining. And, she's big into taxidermy, so there's a lot of funny,
very interesting,
stories about that.
I'm very excited about this that you're reading here, because I loved this show.
Well, okay, so it was on. So the book, How the States Got Their Shapes, was on sale, and I found out why, just because there's a second book.
Okay.
So now after I've, it's called How the States Got Their Shapes 2.
Okay.
So I don't know what else. I think it just goes more in depth on other stories. But this one covers all 50 states.
It's fascinating.
It is really fascinating. There is a very recurring themes, and it makes you, because so I bought a second book based off of some of the things I was reading in this book, because now I want to get more into it. So anyways, so this is, you've talked about the show because it's on Netflix,
right?
And it's all about, like, how the states' borders.
Why the borders are weird,
and it's fascinating to find out that it's one of the prime examples of our government actually doing something efficiently and planning, because a lot of the whole, like, state equality, and they would, when they divided them up, they would plan for future states and, like, using certain meridian lines, and at the time it didn't make sense, but that's why they were able to make, like, states. And then, like, the whole, like, during the Civil War, like, the Missouri Compromise, like, they had to, like, create states equally, and the slave states and free states. So a lot of border reasons come down to, like, either wars, like, again, like, going back to, like, the French Indian War, and, like, the War of 1812, and, like, various. But then you find out about wars you never even heard of, like wars between the states over border lines, which totally happened multiple times, like state militias getting involved, and, like,
sometimes it was just like a one day battle or something like
that. Yeah, or like really quick things. And then there's my favorite category is enterprising politicians, where you find out it was like one of them, I forgot what state I was just reading about, it was like this businessman who owned a bunch of land, and he didn't want to end up as part of one state. So he just went to Washington and lobbied enough where then he got him to, like, make the border the way he wanted.
Have, like, little chunks that go out and cover those things.
And, like, things like that. But then also, like, a lot of the weird ones are to, like, because otherwise the natural resources wouldn't be divided equally,
like
waterfronts and riverways and, like, valleys. Like, if Idaho had been originally, they wouldn't have had any farmland, and then we wouldn't have Idaho potatoes. We would have had, like, some, like, Montana potatoes. Yeah. And then there's also, like, some states where, like, California is as big as California because they basically are like, if you want us as a state, you're going to accept these borders. Because, and they basically did it because they didn't want, because they're like, if California becomes its own country, like, we're going to have a lot of problems. Right. So that's basically why, like, California is as big as it is. Same thing with Texas. It's like, do you want a country of Texas or do you want us to be part of your country? Because those are your options. So it kind of came in. And they also didn't want a situation where, like, let's say Japan took over California and then, like, then they'd be screwed.
Right.
So
they wanted it coast to coast.
Yeah. And then, like, and so reading that stuff, but then the stuff that's, like, more, like, a little bit more of that, our not so proud history, because there are a lot of borders where it was just screwing over the Indians, Native Americans.
Yep.
Like, one of them even talked about, like, the, they called it, cause, like, I guess, like, some historians, the way it just was written in some of the accounts they could find, it was a, the chief, there was an involuntary suicide. I'm like, isn't that murder?
Yeah.
So, like, so basically they're just like, we killed a bunch of dudes.
Yeah. And now we have this land.
Or, like, they tricked him, or they basically are like, I don't know, just real crappy.
Yeah.
So then I bought a second book that was also on sale, which is the iconic, it's actually a very well-known book. I had heard about it. It's been around for years. It's kind of the definitive history of the Native American peoples in the United States. It's called Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee.
Yeah.
It was a documentary of the same name. So, and that book was also on sale for $2. So I think I'm getting into, like, history books.
That's cool.
Because I bought a...
telling that my knowledge of that title primarily comes from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Four Turtles in Time?
Yeah.
Because there's a level called Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee?
That's how I knew about it.
I mean, I have since then understood that there's more to it, but that's where I first learned of that.
Well, because, like, the whole Wounded Knee thing was them... was, like, our revenge for, like, Custer's Last Stand. And then... but then our revenge was so much worse because we basically just murdered a whole tribe...
Yeah.
Like, completely destroyed.
There's a dark history.
A lot of times
gets glossed over.
But then on the other hand, cause, you know, like, there's a lot of, like, some people are like, well, we're just horrible savages and, like, but I'm like, okay, if you're gonna say that, but then, like, that's basically every society in human history.
Right.
Like, find me a civil, like, a country or a state or any place that wasn't created out of blood and, like,
point,
war.
Right.
Like, I mean, it's pretty much everywhere in all of civil human history.
You're not going to find a, like,
that's not unique to America. That's not unique to anywhere.
Right.
Like, and so I'm like, our whole human civilization is kind of built on conquering lesser civilizations.
Yeah.
In the sense of, like, and that's kind of, like, everywhere. I mean, European, that's even more, like, just, like, these people conquer these people, and these people conquer these people, and these people for centuries. At least us, like, it's within, but I mean, it's crazy how recent a lot of this stuff is.
I think that's a large part of it, is very recent.
And the results of it are still very visible.
Right.
I mean, like, you can, like, even, like, I mean, like, Indian, like, the whole Indian reservations and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's
very... result. And it's weird that, like, and then that's the way it is.
Yeah.
Like.
It is. It's very.
But again, like, some of these stories are really, they're just really fascinating stories. And a lot, the ones that are really goofy, like some of the, like, this survey, that's some of them are like, this surveyor screwed up. And
yeah,
this is why this is.
The line's wrong.
And then, like, that's why that is. And then it got to the point where they, so many different treaties and charters relied on that line that they ended up just keeping
that's
it that way.
It is now.
Because undoing it would cause so many other problems.
Yeah.
But it is a testament though to, but then, like, the ones where it's like, no, they plan this out and the equality of the states, but it was a real thing and they actually executed it pretty well.
Yeah.
Cause otherwise, like, I don't know, like, just, you try and, like,
divide
all this up. And an even, because, again, like, especially, back, like, during the time, because, like, you have to realize
satellite imagery to see this stuff.
And natural resources in America were a huge deal, because you had gold, and, like, a lot of that stuff is gone now. We tapped it all out.
Right.
But at the time, like, this was all a huge, huge thing.
Water and getting, water, you know, transportation. But, like,
gold and silver were a huge deal.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, my other favorite border thing is they had to revise borders or change borders because if there was, like, natural, so they would create a border, but then there would be, like, a natural border in, but, like, so, like, if there was a mountain range in between, like, there's, like, a swath of land or an island where it kind of created these, like, no man lands, and then those would, like, in the territory days become, like, these, like, lawless zones.
Well, because you have to go out of one state and through another to get back into it, even though it was in the other
state. So it became, like, this crazy, so then they would re-annex them to the other state where it was easier to have a jurisdiction because they would create these lawless havens of, like, who knows what was going on there. Like, you think about, like in the Old West, like, just those, like, then, like, those were, that was a real thing because of some of the, so when they, when the territory became a state, they would kind of redo that so that, like, this state would have jurisdiction instead of that state because it was easier to get to.
Yeah.
Because, again, they didn't want to create these lawless little zones pockets. Or sometimes, some places, even islands.
Yeah.
Just create these weird.
Well, and there's, if I remember correctly, there's a couple where there's actually a little pocket island that's actually part of a different state that's, like, surrounded. And it's, again, because of the way natural,
you can get to it.
Yeah.
And then some borders have, then there's certain situations where, like, rivers have changed course. That's why you have things like East St. Louis and other places, like, because there's two parts. I know in Missouri alone, there's two parts of Missouri that are actually east of the Mississippi because the Mississippi has changed.
Right.
Course, because of, and then you have things like the creation of, like, the Hoover Dam and the impact that that had.
Well, right, whereas where you do something in one state and it affects the other state,
and then what was once, like, a rich area because of the Colorado River, and now that's pretty much certain areas where it's dried up,
right?
And then you have, like, and then you have that other where, like, that whole town now, like, was underwater.
Yeah, and well, that's actually happened several times.
Yeah. But the big one.
That's awesome. I need to read the book because that show was amazing.
Oh, it was, I don't know if you've done it's still with
the
book. On, so.
You should watch the show.
Yeah, definitely. But there's also a second book now.
Yeah.
That I'm going to probably
read. Maybe they'll make more shows.
I don't know, but it's a good book and it was really cool. I'm also reading, I bought it at that used bookstore in Idlewild when we were there.
Oh, yeah.
This More Information You Require, a John Hodgman book.
Mm-hmm,
it's
just,
imagine an almanac book of facts that somebody entirely made up. And it's amazing.
That's awesome.
It's really funny. If you like that, his humor style and just, it's very, it's really funny. I think you would really get a kick out of it.
Sweet.
It's really entertaining. And, strangely enough, it was really funny. There was I was looking through and there's a gift receipt in it and it still included. So I probably, if I really wanted to, I could probably take it back to Barnes & Noble and get more than I paid for it.
Really?
Because it has a Barnes & Noble gift receipt.
Huh.
It's probably still valid.
Could be.
All right. So what about you? What about you?
Well, okay. I had this on there last week, but just to give the full information to our listeners, Wonderstruck, the book that I read, that's also by the guy who did Hugo.
You're right. Selznick. You Brian, said Selznick.
I know, but I couldn't remember the first name. It's Brian Selznick.
Yeah.
I just wanted to have, it's like my, corrections, on previous.
There you go.
So I want to make sure that was out there. Okay, so this book I finished, this is the one I actually started reading on her backpack and then I just finished it, called The Hero and the Crown.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out it's a two-part book. There's two books in the series and it's great. So I'm adding it to our book club for when we come back around to twos because I think you should read it and I'm excited to read the second one. I actually ordered the second book from Amazon. Maybe I got it from eBay. I don't know. I found it somewhere for cheap, but anyway, it's great. It's the story of this girl that becomes a dragon fighter and some other stuff. And it turns out this one is like a prequel. It was written the second of the two books, but it's a prequel to the other one. So she wrote them chronologically out of order. But I was looking on Goodreads, and a lot of people say that they've read them both in either order, and it's kind of fun to read them either way. So I'm kind of glad I'm reading it this way.
Nice.
So we're going to check that out. And still just poking away a little bit at Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. I didn't read much on it yet. Much more because I was finishing that other one off. So.
Oh, that's what else I watched. They were showing a lot on holiday weekends. Now it's not called Family anymore. It's called, what was it? What did they change the channel name to?
I don't know.
It's something. But they were showing all the Harry Potter movies.
Okay.
So every once in a while, I would just tune in, watch for a while. Because they're so great.
There's eight, right? Because they made the last one into two.
Part seven into two movies.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of movies, but they're so good.
All right.
Really good.
We should roll along here.
Yeah. You got any new movies?
No.
TV? I watched some more. Today I watched like four episodes and now 2-0.
Oh, nice.
I'm in season 8. It's really funny because I found some episodes online that actually have the like music intact.
Okay.
And it's especially like a time capsule of like, because I watched one of the episodes, so this is like season 8 was like 97, and there's like the opening montage, they would just play like whatever, I think it was just like, let's play whatever song is popular with the kids, and it wouldn't really have anything to do with anything. I guess it kind of did now that I'm looking back, because there was an episode where David is like managing this band, and even though he doesn't agree with their, because they're like legit anti-Semites that he discovers.
Okay.
But the record company guy's like, oh, it'll just sell more albums. So at the beginning of this episode, they're playing that Real Big Fish song, Sellout. So it's just funny seeing Beverly Hills 90210 with like ska music playing. It's pretty goofy, but I'm like, I guess that was super popular.
He sold out too.
And also because he sold out. But yeah, and then like this next episode that I watched, they were playing a Sublime song.
Huh.
And I'm like, no wonder they couldn't get that, because these are like big songs and they didn't want to pay for the DVD releases.
I've been around the world.
No. It actually was like real music.
That's funny.
But it's pretty entertaining, just because then it's like this fun time capsule. Like,
right.
Yeah, ska music was really big.
Yes,
it was. But Real Big Fish are still going.
They really are.
Yeah. And then I was watching Pretty Little Liars is still going.
Yeah?
I think this is, like, the last season or whatever, but it's been entertaining. It's so goofy. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, it doesn't make any sense at all. I don't know. They also, like, I think they're trying to make this... Oh, Freeform. That's what they changed it to. ABC
the channel. Okay.
I think they're trying to get more edgy. So there's, like, these really goofy sex scenes. Just, like, really goofy.
So that was, like, the one that was originally, like, the Family Channel, right?
Yeah.
The Family Channel, yes, indeed.
Yeah, I think that's when they started as the Family Channel. Then they became Fox Family Channel.
Right.
Then it was ABC Family Channel. And now it's Freeform.
And that's where we taped a lot of Freaks and Geeks off.
Yeah, because, that was where they burned off some of the episodes, and it was the first place they aired Kim Kelly as My Friend.
Right.
Because they didn't air it on...
Was it Fox at that time?
Yes.
Fox Family.
That's why it was Fox Family, and the show was on Fox. Yeah. So that's why they burned off a bunch of the episodes. And then they had, like, marathons every once in a while, because that's where Janelle taped a bunch, and then I started taping them off.
Because
then I was living in Wisconsin in, like, 2001 when they were airing the last episodes, and then that summer they did like a marathon.
Yeah,
where that was the first time I watched everyone from beginning to end, like the whole season at once. Because that was like the big thing on that network. Because I remember for a while they had like a lot of goofy like goofy Christian shows.
Well, yeah, there was a while. I mean, they had like late night music video shows, like Christian music video shows. I taped a ton of that stuff.
Yeah.
I still probably have those tapes.
And then I've been watching Mighty Boosh on CISO, and it's really awesome.
It's on Hulu now.
It is?
Yeah.
Dang.
I was like, I'm going to watch that. And I put it on like the other day. I think it was last week. And I fell asleep like almost immediately. Not an indictment on the show. It was just like late at night. So
that's good to know, though.
I'm pretty sure it's Hulu. It might be Amazon, but I think it's Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so... so it's on there now. So I'll probably watch that at some point, but I was tired.
So good. What do you watch?
Janelle finally finished Kroll Show.
Dude, how amazing, though, when they, like, the super crossover with, like, the courtroom and everything. And, like,
the whole.
And then, like.
All the worlds coming together.
Everything coming together.
It made me sad, though. I'm like, oh,
that it's
I want more.
I do like that he, I mean, I get it. They want to end on a high note because, Marin did the same thing, sadly. They said, like, after the season done. That just aired, that's it, because he wanted to go out.
And I appreciate that, but it you know, it just was so good. And interestingly enough, we also just watched the last episode of Gordon McGibbon's Life on Normal Street.
So
and
is that over?
They ended it.
Oh.
Which, and again, it's the same thing, where they told the story and they feel like they're done. But at the end, I'm like, no, we want more. I don't want it to be over. But I went on, like, on their Facebook page and stuff, and there's tons of people saying that. And they're like, we're glad you like the show, and, you know, we'll be doing other things in the future. But they're definitely not. It's done. I mean, they very much... It has an ending, and mm-hmm. but it's so great. Now you gotta watch
definitely
them all.
You gotta fantastic. Watch it.
So
right. On the Netflix side, I've watched. I'm like four episodes in on The Get Down. It's really, I really like it. I there's been a lot of criticisms that like it kind of again like because it's told from a very like Grandmaster Flash is one of the executive producers of the show, and that definitely shows.
Okay.
Like it's definitely because there was other DJs at the same time, and they definitely are portrayed in a certain way, and he's kind of like this like mythical character. But I think it's I think it's really entertaining. Huh. It might not be completely historically accurate, but which again, there's been a lot of criticisms, but I think the story of the show and the kids, cause it focuses on these kids and Jimmy Smith is great. And, the other actors, and it's just really entertaining. If you're into music again, like it's really entertaining. I like it a lot. Who's the guy from, Breaking Bad? Giancarlo Esposito is the other
okay.
one of the other guys. He's really good. It's kind of like the adult character.
So you're saying you're down with that one?
I'm down with a Get Down.
All right.
You're watching Star Trek?
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know, five or six episodes into season two now. So.
Season two is where they were having some budget issues.
And
it gets pretty goofy.
Well, the one I just watched was like a total like comedy one.
Yeah. There's some
where they have Joe Piscopo as a stand-up
comedian.
And Whoopi Goldberg's like giving Data like joke advice.
That's right.
And stuff.
I've forgotten about
that. It's like a goofiest episode ever. I mean, it was fun, but it was like, what am I watching right now? But it was like fake Joe Piscopo because he was like in the holodeck and stuff. And then Whoopi Goldberg is like teaching him how to tell jokes, but like the jokes she's saying are like,
oh, that's
so
right,
dumb.
Data's jokes.
Yeah, and then he does like
it's all
a Jerry
full
Lewis
jokes.
Impression. It is, but it's like really bad. I mean, it's funny. It was entertaining. And then they had the Rocketeer guy as like the guy that was the Rocketeer yeah. as like a like Han Solo type, and that was really fun. And then the one other goofy one that I just watched was there's a whole like Sherlock Holmes one.
Oh, that's like a famous one.
So I don't know. That one was. It was
when you start getting into some of those holodeck episodes.
Well, and it's funny because it's the same thing they did in the original series, but then that one they just happened to go to a planet where they style it after. Well, it's the same thing where, you know, we need a cheap episode. Here's a set.
Dude, that
from
City
some
on
show.
The Edge of Forever episode is one of the greatest Star Trek original
series. Well, yeah,
episodes.
It's not to say that they're
but
all
it is
bad.
Pretty, but it is a goofy concept.
It's how they get around. Yeah. Like, we don't have money to show space all the time, yeah. So how can we have it be in houses, you know?
Yeah.
So, but it's fun. It's been fun. It's definitely goofy. And Riker has a beard now, so that's
yeah,
weird.
Beard Riker.
So, I mean, I guess that's what he's known for from now on, yeah. But it was kind of like, oh.
It's a big deal.
And it's funny because the end of season one, there's like a cliffhanger, and then season two starts, and they kind of just gloss over it, and then it's like a whole, I'm like, oh, I guess we're not going to, like, oh, what happens?
It's another common criticism.
Yeah, I guess we don't find out that.
People still complain about that.
Yeah. Well, it's especially jarring when, you're watching them back to back, and I'm like, oh, yes, what's next? And now Riker's got a beard, and they don't talk about what happened with those guys. Oh, well. It's fun though. It's a perfect like kind of have on in the background while I'm doing stuff episodes too. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'll sit and watch some, but you know, or play a little DS while it's going on. It's nice.
Just I can't prepare you because where are you at in the movies? You watch six yet?
Yeah, so I did all the original shows.
So are you gonna wait till you finish Next Generation before you
watch
Generations?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I want to hear, because it's so jarring, because First Contact is amazing.
That's
First Contact's great.
The first.
That's the first. Well, because you got Generations, which is kind of.
And then the First Contact is
the first.
First
one, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Because that has the Borg. And then the one after that is like one of the worst.
Which one is that?
Insurrection.
Okay.
It is awful.
And then there's Nemesis.
Nemesis is, a lot of people, it's kind of a mixed response. I really like Nemesis.
And that's it.
That's it.
So the thing that I'm like got to decide though is where am I fitting in?
Am I right? Yeah. Genesis, so yeah. Generations would be 7. First Contact's 8. Insurrection, yeah. So okay. 10. Cause yeah, Insurrection is freaking horrible. And I think Jonathan Frakes directed that one.
I think he did.
But I think he also did First Contact. Maybe he didn't. I don't know if he did both. I know he did Insurrection.
He did two, I think.
So he must have done... But I think he directed Nemesis. Now I have to look.
Question I have to do is where does Deep Space Nine and Voyager fit in? Like where
movies
do I watch
they
those?
Don't.
Well, no, but where do I watch those? Like in what
I would watch all the movies
and then go
I would
to the
watch,
series.
It doesn't matter.
But I thought isn't there some crossover between Deep Space Nine?
No.
Some of the characters
in the movies. Well, Worf is in Deep Space Nine.
That's what I mean.
But so I don't think it doesn't make any
difference.
It
doesn't matter what order.
No.
So I should do this, then the movies, then those shows?
That's what I would do.
Who is it? I think it was Michelle that is one of our listeners and friends.
Yeah.
And she said she had the Voyager DVDs and she offered them. And
you,
I was
you
like,
shouldn't be taking DVDs.
I didn't.
From anybody.
I told her I'm going to be watching them on streaming like I am. But I appreciated the offer.
Yeah, so Frakes directed Insurrection. It is. Freaking
well,
bad.
Who did?
I can't believe it has a 6.4 on IMDb. That's really high.
But he also directed another. I'm pretty sure he directed two of them.
Yeah, I think he directed Nemesis. But I'd have to look here. Director. Oh, he directed a Power episode. He's been directing a lot
of stuff.
Agents
of S.H.I.E.L.D.
So,
wow.
Dollhouse.
Star Trek Insurrection, Star Trek First Contact.
Oh, so he did direct First Contact, but he didn't direct Nemesis.
There you go.
But First Contact is great. Like, it's seriously really good. It definitely follows the rule of evens in, like, good movies. And then Insurrection definitely also follows the rule of, yeah, because it's so bad. But First Contact is great. And... He directed 3 Voyagers episodes and 3 Deep Space Nine episodes and 8 Star Trek Next Generation episodes.
There you go.
The movie that he directed, Clock Stoppers, is actually pretty cool for like a kid.
Yeah, I've watched that one.
For a kid movie.
It's good.
And then he also did the Thunderbirds movie, which I don't think I ever watched.
I never did either.
There's a new, is it Amazon does the Thunderbirds show?
Oh, maybe.
The Thunderbirds are Go. I think they do that. If you're into that. The puppets kind of freaked me out. I'm not even going to lie.
I just thought it was kind of coolish, but I don't know.
Team America did it.
Well, yeah. I feel like that's kind of the definitive.
Them making fun of it, but the puppets, I don't know. I'm not super freaked out by puppets, but it kind of freaks me out.
It seems like something you wouldn't like that much.
It's a little freaky. But I like Mr. Rogers. Maybe as a kid, I thought it was too childish, so I didn't watch it because I was thinking of Mr. Rogers.
Maybe.
And I was like too cool for Mr. Rogers.
But I think Mr. Rogers puppets are like animals and they're very obviously puppets, whereas
Thunderbirds is like the, I think it is the, like I think it real. Is the marionettes that's yeah. like, it's really.
It's disconcerting.
Yeah.
You know what time it is?
It's time.
It's time.
It's Marmaduke time. It was really cool. One of my other favorite cheers was Will Ospreay wrestled Zack Sabre Jr. And Zack Sabre Jr. Will Ospreay has been in a feud with the Vader, who does. That's where I got that. It's because his
it's
song
time,
was "It's
yeah.
Time." So some clever people started yelling, "It's time! It's time! It's Sabre time!" instead of Vader time. So. It's Marmaduke time.
Marmaduke, here we go.
What do we got? All looks right. like the ice cream truck is back.
Oh, yes. Well, here we go. Ring-a-ding, ding-a-ding-ding.
Oh, this is from the book
this
cover.
This is on the cover. Yeah, this is the cover. Marmaduke is shocked awake. He hears a sound. He runs to the door. He knocks over.
Is Phil in his underwear?
No, I think that's the mom because they're like high heels.
Oh, okay.
That's like her backside. That's like a dress there. He's knocked her so she's flying up. She's going to break her neck there. Oh, my goodness, she shouts out as Marmaduke runs to the door. Ring-a-ding-ding. He's got his bone in
his
mouth.
Just want to give, just because we've been tracking this, pretty normal size Marmaduke.
He's still a large dog,
but
he's
super
not like a giant.
Giant.
He smashes a hole through the screen door in the front, and the mom's now laying on the ground all disheveled. First ice cream truck of the year, she says. And then here he comes, like, belt. Now, but here all of a sudden, look at this. He's larger than the whole truck. Look at this.
Yeah.
I'm gonna draw a comparison here. Here, if you look here, he's down to there. Here on the truck. He is as large as an ice cream truck.
Yeah.
And this one, storming.
And then
out
when
the
he
door,
gets on top of it,
he's taller than the ice cream truck.
He's taller than the ice cream. And he could, like, it looks like he could crush this truck, like, with his paws.
His head, if you'll notice, is larger than the entire head and torso of these guys here.
Yeah.
So he was in the house normal size. He barrels out and is grown to the size of
the truck.
He
shapeshifts.
And then look at here, in the final one, he's even bigger. Sitting down,
well,
his head is like 3 feet.
Okay,
above.
We're not done with the comic.
Okay, we gotta get back. This is just crazy. Okay, so he's barreling towards it. Ring ding ding. And then the guy is driving the truck. Or, oh no! I told him last year!
Cause he's got a bone.
He's got a bone in his hand. He stands up on the hood, stares at them, and he says, no trade!
Cause he wants to trade
he
ice cream
to trade
for
his
a
bone,
bone
for an ice cream. And in the last frame, Marmaduke's got an entire box of Choco Freeze.
Because
ice
he
cream.
Has knocked over the ice cream
he's
truck.
He's completely knocked it over on its side. These guys are like smashed. The one guy's got the bone shoved down his throat.
So he basically murdered some ice cream
and
guys.
He says blub. He's laying on the ground. His leg is crushed underneath the truck. And the other guy says, so much for your no trade policy. As he's like smashed in and he's locked, like, he's stuck behind the
so
steering wheel.
So Marmaduke held up an ice cream truck,
yeah,
basically.
The fluids are flowing
and
out.
And completely knocked it. Marmaduke can knock over a car.
And he's got like three ice creams in his mouth.
Not just
at
a
once.
Car, a truck.
A giant truck.
So he shapeshifted and knocked over a truck.
Because they wouldn't give him his ice cream.
You think they would know.
But he also has the, like, he is human enough that he understands trade and value.
Yeah.
Like, here, I will give you this bone in exchange, because he knows
that. And
that's
if you don't believe me, and if you don't
if
do
you don't
what
do
I want
it,
you to do, I'm gonna.
I will murder you.
Basically, because he basically murdered that dude.
I mean, he's laying down on the ground, he's smashed under the truck,
he's
with
got
a
bone
shoved, in his,
shoved
throat,
in his throat.
And the other guy's, like, stuck in the truck. Like, sideways.
And, he again, he's shapeshifted.
Because he's giant. Each frame, he grows a little bigger in this one until
this
the end.
Is where he's the absolute biggest. I feel like he may even have decreased back in his
well,
size.
Well, because he was full of rage at this
yeah,
point.
Yeah, so he hulked up.
But he's still, like, sitting here. When the truck is on its side, his head
is
a good,
taller
like,
than the side of the truck.
Taller than the side of the truck.
But when he jumps onto the truck, he is
he's
so
enormous.
He's ginormous. And that's how he's able to knock over the truck.
Because if you look here, like, he's about the size of the mom.
Yeah.
He's a large dog there. And here, he's standing above the truck looking down at them.
And then he flips over the
terror.
I'm assuming he just flipped over the truck with his front paws.
Yeah.
So he's superhuman strength.
Because he's standing on two legs at this
yeah.
point here.
Standing on two legs and he just flips over the truck. Like he just pushed it over.
And if you look, that's the picture from the back. It's him as a giant beast and they're saying no trade.
Yeah, and he just
there.
Shoves the truck like a person.
Yeah. With his front paws.
He has human strength.
Yeah, because he's a human ghost.
But even a human couldn't just flip over a truck.
But he's, you know.
So he's superhuman.
He's got super heat and he can shapeshift.
That's
so he
his,
becomes human.
Well, it's his freaking undead demon powers.
There he is. And now he gets his Choco Freeze. Which is probably like Phil's dad's favorite ice cream treat when he was alive.
Choco Freeze.
Yeah, Choko, by the way.
What kind of ice cream is that?
I don't know, but it comes in a big box and he's eating them all at once.
Man, they must have, I think they missed out on an opportunity by, I wonder if they could actually make
yeah,
Marmaduke
Choco Freeze. Maybe we should start that.
I'd buy some Choco Freeze.
Yeah, Choco Freeze.
If it would give you superhuman dog powers.
Yeah. Eat this or a dog will murder you.
Cause yeah, he totally like,
I mean, he shoved that bone down that guy's throat so he can't speak and pinned him underneath a vehicle.
He's in the process of choking to death.
Yeah.
And the other dude is like, went through the windshield of the car.
Yeah, and he's like hanging on sideways.
Let me see this.
Look at that.
So like his leg is like pinned. Yeah, it's like the car flipped over on, like this guy is dead.
Yeah.
And this guy like went through the windshield.
Yeah. And he's like his
seatbelt.
Well,
wait. What kind of weird ass truck is this? There is no windshield.
There's no windshield, that's right.
What kind of weird truck is this?
It's like the front of a like stagecoach.
Yeah.
Almost. It's like a stagecoach
truck. What kind of weird truck where there's two guys out in the open?
Well, that part I don't know.
There's no door. There's no door on this car. And they're just like sitting outside? That's weird. But he still knocked it over.
He still knocked it over.
And like this guy's legs hanging out and he just knocked over the truck and he's eating all the ice creams. And he, again, he definitely like did his whole increase in size.
No question. He is like gigantic there. There's only one left. Don't peek. Don't peek in. Only one left in this book. Don't worry, everyone.
But it's a one-pager.
It is a one-pager, but it's probably going to be good.
They were too lazy to even do a second page.
That was a good one, though, because Marmaduke, I mean, he's definitely a shapeshifter. Definitely has superhuman powers. He's not above murdering a human to get what he wants. That's why Phil lives in constant terror of him, and he does what he wants.
Phil's always scheming on ways to get rid of Marmaduke.
Right. But he knows he can't push it too far, or he will just straight up murder him, like he did with the ice cream guy.
Shove a bone
down your throat and pin you under a car. And
knock your vehicle over.
It's crazy.
So that's what Phil's dealing with.
Man, what is this book like? Does this have like one of those parental advisories on it?
Better watch out or Marmaduke will come Marmaduke get you. Marmaduke will
murder you for ice cream.
Man.
And on the front cover, it shows him having eaten the ice cream of all the children, and they're all sad. So even kids aren't, like, immune to it.
Well, they didn't. And notice, like, you don't see any of them not giving him their ice cream.
No.
They're sad about it, but they know the alternative is a horrible death.
Yeah, it's like the Twilight Zone kids sent into the cornfield. Like, they know they have to do what Marmaduke says on this street. They're sad. They're allowed to be sad. He doesn't care about their emotions, but they know they have to get him what he wants.
Man.
Marmaduke. Look at that.
Give me the ice cream.
And then he says, and see, that's the thing. Because the mom says, oh, it's the same one as last year. The guy that died, he was the new guy. The other guy got murdered last year. The guy that died is the one that says no trades. He didn't know not to refuse. No one, like, told him in training, like, oh, give the dog whatever you want.
Well, now he knows.
Whatever he wants. Now he's dead. Got a bone shoved through the back of his throat.
So Marmaduke killed somebody.
Marmaduke kills people for ice cream. There you go. Man, it's deep. What was he? He's a master. It's a masterpiece. All this time, he slid it past everyone. As, hey, here's a cute dog comic. Like cute dogs? Here's a big cute dog.
Nope. People love that big dog.
Yeah, but right under the surface, just lurking there waiting. It's dark. What was the movie rated?
Well, the movie is like fun and freewheeling.
But that's what we think, but maybe. Yeah, I can't wait to watch it.
I think we're going to be really disappointed.
Who plays Phil?
I don't think Phil is in the movie.
Really?
Because like Emma Stone's like his owner.
Well, that's like the mom.
No.
They couldn't even like adapt it. Well, maybe not. Maybe they went with a different storyline.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, maybe at that point, it's a future when Phil's, like, dad is, like...
I think Brad Anderson was, like, on his deathbed, and, like, this is how, like the one last...
Maybe he tried to tell them, like, no, you guys, you missed the point, obviously. Like, have you guys even read my comic? And they're like,
I think Paul Anderson doesn't grasp all the subtext, because you read his Marmadukes, they're super goofy. They're not like the others at all. Although, because I think Brad Anderson would cover it up because he would have the goofy ones mixed in.
Yeah, every once in a while you get just a plain old Marmaduke as people.
Yeah.
But even still, it's a Marmaduke as people. We just didn't understand what that meant. Well, also,
like, Marmaduke's a big dog.
There is Marmaduke's a big dog. But now we know that's because he can shapeshift. He's not just a big dog. He can be an enormous dog the size of a house.
Yeah.
If he wants to be.
All right, well, I want to be going to RadioBrendo.com to
do that.
Check out all the stuff on there, click the Amazon links to get a free trial for Amazon Prime, get the Amazon banner if you're going to buy stuff on Amazon, and check out check out BenvyNetwork.com for all the Benvy Network shows.
Good thing to do.
And, yeah. Maybe we'll talk about video games next time.
We talked about some this time. I put Street Pass up above so that I could talk about that.
But you got a lot of other games.
I got them.
I'm still working my way through Uncharted 4, and I need to turn it in so I can get my value out of Gamefly.
Oh, you're just keeping them?
I've just been keeping the one game. I feel like, I don't know, maybe I don't know.
Maybe that wasn't meant for you.
Maybe, I don't know. It's... Still a good value because I'm still paying less than if I had bought the game. But I'm getting close to where I
could. You're going to get there?
Yeah.
Like, Jeff Edwards would remember he would rent the same, like, basketball game, like, every week. I'm like, dude, you could have bought this 10 times over in that time.
Yeah. So.
Anyway.
We'll see what happens with that. All right. I think that's going to do it. Yeah. So,
thanks for listening, everyone.
Thank you. And tune in next time
as we
talk more about Marmaduke and...
Yeah. We're going to finish that book.
Finish this book. Move on to the next book. Marmaduke. It's a Dog's Life. Except you're not really a dog.
Is it really a dog's life?
It's a dog's life, question mark.
It's a dog's life?
Yeah.
Maybe that's like, it's written from the perspective of like the Phil's dad's ghost. It's a dog's life for me now.
Because this was my only option.
Yeah, that's what I got.
But one of these days, he's still trying to find a way.
He's finding a new host.
To find a new human host body. Maybe that's why he tried. Maybe he's like trying to. Maybe he tried to like merge with the ice cream man. Didn't quite work out.
Well, it's like when the house elves, like if they give them their clothes and they're free.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if someone accepts a bone from Marmaduke, he can possess their bodies.
That's why he's trying to give the bone
to
him.
That's right. All along, he got a dog to do it because it was a bone, and that he hasn't been able to pass on that soul to anyone.
Maybe it's his. Maybe it's the bone.
It is.
Maybe it's Phil's bones. It's
Phil's dad's,
it's the dad's
leg bone.
Bones. And so, if a human like. Takes possession of them, then he can take possession of the person. Whereas, so maybe Marmaduke was the dog, and then one day Marmaduke found, maybe Phil intentionally put his bones.
Phil killed his dad and buried him in the backyard, and Marmaduke dug it up and got the bone.
And then that's why he got possessed.
Oh my god.
Whoa!
That's what happened.
Yeah.
Oh. This is dark.
And that's why he's always digging up bones and trying to get people to take the bones. That's why he's trying to get Phil. Maybe that's why he's, Phil, I know what you did, Phil.
Yeah, that's why Phil like does what he's trying to keep it under wraps.
And Phil's like, no, get these bones out of here.
Oh my gosh.
And that's why Phil won't touch the bone. Cause then like that's the whole point. He's trying to get Phil to take possession of the bone.
So he can take over.
So he can take over. And like, or he'll face the consequences for what he did.
Right. Oh. But then if he can get someone else to do it, like, that's his next choice.
Yeah.
Dude, I think we unlock something.
It's like Drag Me to Hell.
Oh.
Drag Phil to Hell.
This is crazy. I can't wait to read more Marmaduke.
Oh. Man.
I never realized. It's a great story.
Well, I think we're still calling this episode, what was it? Big Man Mad?
Big Man. Big.
What did we
big
say?
Man Mad. Shoot, I can't remember how you said it now.
I think I said say Big Man Mad.
Big Man Mad. Something like that. That's good enough. Big Man Mad. All right. Thank you guys for listening.
Thank you, and tune in next time. So for Radio Brendo Man, I'm Brendan Creasy.
And I'm Phil Vecchio.
Have a good one, everybody.
Keeps you on the ground, it just keeps you hanging on, you just This podcast is a part of the Benview Network.
You can find this and other podcasts like it at BenviewNetwork.com.
Hello out there in Benview podcast land. My name is Josh and this is Jesse.
Hello.
And we happen to do a podcast about video games called the Extra Damage Cast.
Indeed we do.
If you like to talk about video games, or more accurately, listen to other people talk about video games, you should check out our podcast. It's at extradamage.com or on the Benview Network website, whatever that is.